Log Talk Radio.
Button, and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat. This is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color Only. Out there listening on the airwaves, I hope today finds you doing well. If you would like to be a guest to call in, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter, but I will give you a word of warning. I will not tolerate character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, excessive profanity, things of that sort, insults, trolling, or anything of that nature. It will prompt me to push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Once again, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. I have no problem with having a honest discussion with you. But if you're going to come in here and engage in those aforementioned activities, it will be best that we do not even try to engage in conversation, okay? And that's when the kick button comes in, and you will suffer the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat, okay? You just keep that in mind, okay? But some of you all may be wondering where I was last week, and a couple of weeks ago when I did a program, I said I wouldn't be here last week because last Saturday was my wife's birthday, and I took her to the beach, which is probably my favorite place to go to. Took her down to Kiri Beach, south of Wilmington, North Carolina. Her friend's two sons, and we had a good time down there and celebrating my wife's birthday. And, of course, last weekend was the 4th of July weekend. I hope everybody had a safe Independence Day. You know, hope you all were able to get out with family and friends and enjoy yourselves and have a good time. Hope nobody lost any body parts due to mishandling of fireworks or anything like that. But anyway, we are here today. And let me get this set up. And I hope Blog Talk Radio, for the past month or so, Blog Talk Radio has been kind of wonky. I guess that's a word, you know, it's been kind of wonky. And I was on someone's show earlier today, and her sound was going in and out, and then it just cut off and everything. And I hope that doesn't happen here. You know, but anyway, let me go on with the show. Before I get into the meat of the show, let me explain something to those of you all out there, because there's a misconception that has been going around about black conservatives for the longest. And let me share something with you all. I consider myself a black conservative, but above everything else, I consider myself a Christian. And as a Christian, I'm about the truth. Now, a lot of people, they'll call themselves Christians, but they'll engage in unchristian acts or whatever. And I'm not saying that Christian people are perfect. I'm not saying that. I know I'm not perfect because I got to deal with myself on a daily basis. But a lot of people call themselves Christians, but they don't have the conviction of what it is to be a Christian. Now, how I take being a Christian is you have to always be about the truth. You don't try to bring a point across by using deception or anything of that sort. And see, when I call myself a Christian, I'm serious about my Christianity. I don't just say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a good person. I'll do no. But when I call myself a Christian, hey, Yahweh, when I call myself a Christian, I take it very seriously. And I was on a show earlier today, and this guy was talking about you need to look out for these black people who consider themselves to be conservative. And he said, and basically what he was saying, I'm not saying it verbatim, but basically what he was saying is these people are deceptive. They just want to kiss white people's tail. They just want you to get you to think a certain way. And he said, well, I'm not about being a Democrat or Republican or anything like that, but he's pushing those same lines that the liberal Democrats do. And I was listening to him, and, you know, the reason why I think the way I do is because I am a Christian. I want to be about the truth. I'm not trying to be a Republican. I'm not trying to be a Democrat or a Libertarian or anything like that. However, my views do lean conservative. So be it. But when I get up here and I get to bouncing my lips and flapping my tongue, I'm not here to get you to think like I do. There are times that I've told people, don't just believe what I say at face value. Go out and search it out. Because a lot of what I tell you, it comes from me doing a lot of reading, okay? And now let me tell you something. I'm not a historian or, you know, a professional eloquent speaker or anything like that. But I do have common sense, and I do have critical thinking skills. I do have an opinion, but like I said on countless shows, my opinion can be right or wrong. And if you have an opinion, anyone who has an opinion needs to realize this. Your opinion can be right or wrong. But once you shine the light of truth on your opinion, you ditch your opinion and you hang on to the truth. And that's all I'm about here. I'm not here because I'm trying to kiss white people's tail or I'm trying to get some money from the conservative lobby or anything like that. That's not why I do this program. If that happens, hey, fine. I have a friend of mine. He said, Vincent, it's a shame that you don't have a lot more people listening to your program. I said, that's okay. I said, I ain't no skin off of my back. I'm just getting my word out there. I just want people to realize that there's a person who is not a famous personality out there who has something to say too. And that's why I thank God for platforms like Blog Talk Radio. I don't come out here hoping to make it big with an audience and then I become the next Candace Owens or Larry Elder or whoever black conservative is out there. That's not what I do this program for. However, if that does happen, I'm going to walk into that door. But I don't do this for popularity. And see, you get a lot of people out there, they'll see a person like myself who is black, who is Christian, who is a conservative. They blow us off by saying, oh, you're just doing this because you're trying to get some money. You're getting paid. I had someone accuse me of getting paid by the Trump campaign on this program one time. I was like, I ain't get a dime from Donald Trump. I don't get one thin red dime from anyone who's Republican, conservative, or anything. That's not what I'm about. But I will say this. If it comes to that, yeah, hey, I'm not going to say, no, I don't want that. No. Mm-mm, no. I'll just see it as God opening up a door for me, for my voice to be heard by more people. And yeah, whatever comes with it, you know, hey, but I don't do this for fame and fortune. Let me just get that straight right now. I don't do this because of fame and fortune. I do this because on a daily basis, I hear from people like Sean Hannity. For a while, it was Rush Limbaugh, the Mark Levins, and all those people. And we're all familiar with those type of people. But what about those who you don't know that much about? Thank you there, Retta. What about those people like me, a nondescript black man in Durham, North Carolina? How does he see what's going on in the country? How does he see it? And, you know, because I am darker than most people, well, I'm not real dark. I think that's the reason why my last name is Brown, because my skin is brown, but I digress. But, I see myself as a nondescript black guy in Durham, North Carolina, who has something to say. And I use this program as a way to vent in a way. Not just so I can hear my voice, you know, or hear my lips bouncing or anything like that. That's not why I do this program. I really do truly want people to get something out of this program. And I'm not, like I said, I don't do this for fame or fortune. If I get a bigger audience, to God be the glory. If I don't, well, I'm not going to shut down because, oh, not too many people listen to me. I'm not going to do that. Yeah, I remember, you know, back in like around 2009, 2010, one of them years, when I just started this program, I was saying, you know, I'm not as eloquent as people are. I'm not as knowledgeable as a lot of people are. Like I said, I'm not a historian or anything like that. And they said, well, Vincent, just because you're not those things, you still have something to say. And I got to thinking about it. I said, okay, yeah, okay. You got a point there. You got a point there. And that's why I do this program. I'm not as eloquent as a lot of people that you see out there, that you see on Newsmax or Fox News or any of the rest of them, or that you hear your favorite radio personality that you hear on the radio. But I still have something that I need to get off my chest. And hopefully it's not just a lot of words, but it's something that you can get out of what I say, because I'm an individual. I have my likes, my dislikes, and I'm a unique individual, as we all should be. And that's another reason why I do this, because I want people to know that, hey, just because a certain group of people thinks like this That doesn't mean I'm going to think like they do. Just because a majority of black people think a certain way doesn't mean I'm going to think that way. Because above my skin color, the thing that I value the most about me is my individuality. And it's sad to say there are people out there who want to take your identity away from you so you can be part of the monolithic collective. How can you think like this? You're supposed to be like us. No, I'm not. I'm not supposed to be like you. I'm supposed to be like me, the way God intended. God made me an individual for a reason. And people get surprised when, you know, they think you're black and they think you think a certain way. And they come up to you like they think that you're going to think like they do. And then when you just blow them off, kind of, you let them know, I don't think like that, then they feel insulted. They take it personally. And then they call you a coon and an Uncle Tom and a sellout and an Oreo and all them other cute little names that they have for black conservatives. But I'm not here to kiss anyone's butt or anyone's behind. I am an individual. Like I said before, the first number one thing I am is a Christian. And because I'm a Christian, I'm going to be about the truth. I'm not going to do anything deceptive or try to deceive you to think a certain way like I do and everything. I'm not going to do that. Second thing that I am is an individual. Even though you and I might share the same skin color, I am still an individual. I have a set of likes, dislikes, unique properties about me that sets me aside from everyone else. Third thing that I am is an American. Yes, I love being an American. I think this is the greatest country in the history of the world. I love to see that flag waving in the air. I think it's the most beautiful flag in the world. And no, I do not think the American flag is a racist flag. So when these people come out here talking about every time a black person sees that, they're reminded of racism. It doesn't remind me of racism. So speak for yourself. That's one thing I can't stand is these black people coming out here acting like they talk for all of us. You don't talk for me. You don't speak for me. Yeah, when we black people see this or we hear this, no. You do not speak for me. I am not part of the collective. I escaped the plantation. Don't plan on going back. And the fourth thing that I am is a black man. Now, I understand there's racism in the world. I understand that. I know there are racists in the United States of America. That is something you are not going to get rid of because we all have a sin nature. And part of that sin nature is to hold your race above other races. You're not going to get rid of racism. But having said that, we do not live in a racist society. The United States is not a largely racist country. Hey there, Sarge. I heard you earlier today, and I wish you were in this room right now because I'll give you a high five. I heard you on that other show. I think it was New Orleans Awake or something like that. I'm going to talk a little bit about that because you got these people out here talking about, oh, these black conservatives. Oh, the reason why they're like this, you know, they're shucking and jiving. Oh, they're just trying to kiss up to the white man. And man, y'all cut it out, please. I'm not trying to kiss up to anyone. All I'm trying to do is convey the truth to you. That's all I'm trying to do. That's all I'm about is the truth. And, you know, this person this morning or this afternoon that I was listening to, he said that these black conservatives want to tell you that there is no racism in the United States. I have never heard one black conservative say that before, that the United States has zero racism. I never heard that. I don't know where he got that from. But here's the thing about black folks, too. Black folks, when you talk about racism, you need to keep in mind that you had a part to play to add to the stats of racism in this country. What am I trying to say? Don't sit there and talk about racism like you haven't played a part in being racist, because there are black racists in the United States today. And I'm going to go so far to say this. Black people are probably the most racist people in the United States. And yes, you can quote me on that. I did not stutter. But keep that in mind. You want to talk about race, and see, a lot of times when we talk about racism, we only talk about the variety of white people against black people, but we don't talk about it the other way around. And when we do talk about it the other way around, we say it's reverse racism. No, it's racism. There is no reverse racism. Racism is racism. If a black person looks down on a white person because it's the color of his skin, that's not reverse racism. That is straight up racism. There is no such animal as reverse racism. It's racism. And last week, it was kind of a shame I didn't do a show last week. You know, like I said, it was my wife's birthday and everything, so, you know, that's good. But, you know, like I've been saying, it's getting easier to do a show every week because something happens. You're like, oh, boom, there we go. I know what I'm going to do my show on. But, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we had this athlete named Gwen Berry. I had never heard of her. But she gets up there, and well, what it was the hammer throw trials, Olympic trials in Eugene, Oregon. And you know, these people were trying to qualify for the Olympics. I forgot that girl's name, Deanna Price. I think that's her name, Deanna Price. She won the gold medal. And she broke her own American record. Now, that's what that event should have been talking about. That's what we should have been talking about, the records that she broke. But what are we talking about? On the contrary, we're talking about Miss Gwen Berry. Now, just because she's dark, that doesn't mean this berry is too sweet, okay? Let me let you know that right now. But instead of talking about Deanna Price and what she accomplished at these trials, not only that, Deanna Price is probably the favorite to win the gold medal outright in the Olympics. We're not talking about that. We're talking about Miss Blue Lips, Gwen Berry. Because she gets up there, she hears the playing of the national anthem, and she turns her back or turns to the side, turns away from the American flag. And then she gets up there talking about, oh, they set me up. They set me up. They know I don't want to hear that song and yada, yada, yada. And then she holds up a T-shirt that says activist athlete or something like that, and she puts it over her head. Now, let me tell you all something. Let me tell you all something. If I were the head of the Olympic Committee, I don't know how they do this thing or whatever. I guess they do it on a vote. I don't know how they do it. But if it were me, once I seen that, I would have been like, oh, is that how you feel about your country? Okay. We keep your bronze medal. You can keep your bronze medal, but we're going to put someone in your place who respects this country. Ain't no need of us sending you to Tokyo. You're supposed to represent the United States of America, but you don't want to even respect the national anthem or this country that you represent. No, you're not going over there to embarrass us. Scoot, go on back to where you come from. And we'll put someone in your place who respects this country. That's what ticked me off about that. That's what ticked me off about the whole thing was folks didn't say, "Oh, wait a minute, she turning away. We're not gonna tolerate that. Oh, they're gonna let her go." And folks, let me tell you all something. I'm just gonna say this right now. You all can take it any way you want to. And I'm not this type of person or whatever. I hope she fails spectacularly in the Olympics. I hope she fails because I don't want to have to listen to her turning away from the flag at the Olympic Games. Because all she's doing is putting all the attention on herself. Look at me, y'all. I'm black. I'm not as privileged as everybody else, but you need to look at me because I'm the victim because I'm black. This is the type of country. I don't recognize this country anymore. I really don't. People used to be glad to play to represent the U.S. When their event and whatever, they wrapping themselves in an American flag. Matter of fact, Miss Berry a few years ago. There's a picture of her from a few years ago. She's standing up with the flag, the American flag. She didn't seem to be too offended of it back then. But because we woke people today, she's woke now. She's woke. And then she gets up there. She said, I didn't say I hate this country. You don't have to say it. You all ever heard that term, actions speak louder than words? People trying to put words in my... No one's trying to put words in your mouth. We're sitting there looking at your actions. You turned away from the U.S. flag. That tells me you don't like this country. And if you don't like this country, you can't represent this country. Don't give me that garbage. Oh, they try to put words in my mouth. I never said I didn't like this country. I love my people. Now, when you hear a black person say they love their people, they're not talking about people in general. They're talking about people who look like them. See, I'm not stupid. When I hear a black person say, "Oh, I love my people," yeah, you love black people. You don't love anybody else but black people. And people want to make this out to be a racial thing. And folks, I'm just sick and tired of people injecting race into everything. I'm sick of it. Just sick of it. Last week, Sha'Carri, I think that's her name, Sha'Carri Robinson. I don't mean to mispronounce her name or whatever. She tested positive for weed. And she was given a 1-month suspension going back to last month. And from what I read in the news, she's probably not even going to participate in the Olympics, period. People want to make that out to be a racial thing too. And then they want to bring up Phelps. Good grace, I don't forgot his name. Phelps, the superstar swimmer. I forgot his first name, but you all know who I'm talking about. They wanted to bring that case up, and they wanted to say, "Oh, they kicked this girl out because she's black." Michael Phelps, thank you. they kicked this girl out because she was black. Because back in the day, Michael Phelps was caught smoking marijuana out of a bong, and they didn't keep him from playing in the Olympics. Okay, well, see, this shows you how. See, you guys are always talking about you need to know your history. You need, well, then you need to know yours. The incident in question happened a few months after Michael Phelps was in the Olympics. Now, given Michael Phelps never tested positive for weed when he was in the Olympics. Not only that, Michael Phelps wasn't convicted by a test. He was convicted by a picture. And when that picture came out, they saw Michael Phelps, I think he was in Baltimore, smoking a weed out of a bong. They gave him a 3-month suspension. They only give Miss Richardson a 1-month suspension. But they wanted to say, I told you, the white man, he went to the Olympics, but this happened after the Olympics. And while he was at the Olympics, he didn't test positive for weed. And going back to Miss Berry anyway, Miss Berry comes up talking about you should know your history. The third paragraph of the national anthem talks about slaves and our blood being slain. How in the world does your blood get slain? Can someone tell me that? And I read the third stanza of the national anthem, and I just see the word slave there. It didn't say anything about killing those slaves and leaving their blood all across the land, or it doesn't say anything of that sort. But to be honest with you, I don't think she's read the third stanza of the national anthem herself, or if she has, someone influenced the way that she read it. The national anthem is not talking about killing slaves or anything like that. Nowhere. And how they come up with that, I don't know. Now, I'm not going to go into detail about what that third stanza means or anything like that, but these people, once again, they get up there, they virtue signal, you need to know your history, and they don't even know it themselves. U.S. rat. U.S. racial act. Ooh, you might have something there, Sarge. You might have something there, man. I got two of my favorite people in the chat room. I got Greta Washington and I got Sarge in here. Now, I hope I don't get them two conversating, because if they get the conversating, boy, they'll just take over this show. But this is the nonsense, folks, that we have to put up with on a daily basis. And people who should know better don't do anything to stop it, because they're afraid that someone's going to call them a racist and you're upsetting the, you're trying to make waves or some crazy mess like that. And I'm like this. I don't care what you think about me. I'm going to be about the truth. And Miss Berry does not belong in the Olympics. Now, let me get back to Sha'Carri Robinson, too. When Sha'Carri Robinson was, when she tested positive, you know what Sha'Carri Robinson did? She didn't get up there talking about, I'm black and y'all don't want me to run in the Olympics. I'm black. Look at me. I'm black. Get back. I'm born on the wrong side of railroad tracks. She said, you know what? She said, I was distressed over the loss of my mom, and I indulged in some weed because she had lost her mother. Her mother died. And she took responsibility for her actions. which is a rarity among black people today. Now, let me tell you all something. I'm just going to say something. Folks, don't get me wrong when I say this. I think they should take weed off of the banned substances list. I really do. I really do. Now, I don't do weed. I'm not an advocate of weed. I've never done weed in my life. But I think they should take it off the banned substances list. Now, I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to give you several reasons why. First of all, you got people drink alcohol and whatever. They can still perform in the Olympics. You got people who smoke. They can still perform in the Olympics. And not only that, because of our woke culture, we got men who confess that they are really women, and they are going to compete as women in the Olympics, and they can take all kinds of hormones and everything to alter their body and make them feel more like females, but they allow them to compete. Once again, inconsistent. Oh, we're too woke. We're too woke to be consistent. They let them compete. I think they should take weed off of the banned substances list. I'm not trying to condone the use of weed. Folks, don't get me wrong. I ain't about that. But I've never heard of anyone losing their life because they were smoking weed. And weed does not enhance you in one way or another. It doesn't alter your ability in one way or another when it comes to competing on the athletic level. I'm just saying, folks, that's just my opinion. And it was another girl. I didn't even look her up. She missed a drug test. Now, here's the reason why she missed a drug test, because she had just had an abortion. And I think they banned her for a year. But people want to make this out to be, oh, it's because she was black. Had nothing to do with the skin color. Nothing at all to do with her skin color. But this girl had just had an abortion. And me, I'm like this. You're a murderer. You just committed an abortion? Okay. No, we don't want you. We don't want no murderers on here. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Retta said, those kids in my school, when they're high on weed, they're dumb as heck. Yeah, yeah. I don't think it affects your athletic abilities. It might make you dumb. But I think they should take that off the banned substances list. I really do. But no matter how I feel about it, these things that are happening to these athletes and whatever, it has nothing to do with their skin color. Nothing at all to do with their skin color. And see, we do this, man. I tell you, every day you look up, oh, they're doing this because he's black. Oh, they're doing this because she's black. Oh, that no, it has nothing. It has something to do with the choices they make, yeah. But it has nothing to do with their skin color. I just gave you the Michael Phelps comparison. People want to say, oh, well, Michael Phelps, he didn't run it. They let him run in the Olympics. They let him swim. Yeah, but what he did was after the Olympics. And he was suspended for 3 months. And why are we making a big deal about this anyway? Shikari, whatever her name is, she owned up to her mistake. End of story. She said, I knew what I did was wrong. Boom. Okay. You know what you did was wrong. Boom. End of story. But, oh, you know, the apostles of blackness had to come out there. They had to do their little thing. This isn't right. Y'all did that because she's black. y'all don't care about black athletes. I'm like, you all got to be kidding me. Y'all have got to. Someone actually said, I forgot where, I think I saw it on a Twitter this morning. Someone actually said that the Olympic Committee doesn't care about black athletes. Are you outside of your ever-loving mind? They don't care about black people. Well, if they don't care about black people, why do they allow them to compete? I mean, really. And I'll be honest with you. Miss Richardson, a lot of people were, oh, man, a lot of people had their eyes on her because she was breaking records and everything. Fastest woman in the world. She's a little on the, well, let's just say she's an LGBT. Let's just say that. But if I'll be honest with you. In my opinion, if anyone should be barred from the Olympics, is that Gwen Berry. She definitely shouldn't be there. You coming here to represent the U.S.? How many people in their countries do you think that when their national anthem is playing, they're going to turn from their flag? How many people do you think is going to do that? And I know there's some countries that you better face that flag. But some of them, you know, they're not under threat of penalty of law or anything like that. And you know what they're going to do when their national anthem plays? They're going to face their flag. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of these woke people who say the United States is a racist country and that this country was born in racism and slavery and all this crazy mess, I wouldn't even consider you to be a citizen. And I'm gonna go on a reach right here. I'm gonna go on a stretch right here. You're too dumb to be a citizen. Why don't you go to another country of your preference, and on your way over to your country of preference, won't you exchange your citizenship with somebody who wants to be here? Because you're too stupid, really. I don't like to use that word stupid. I don't. I use it a lot, but I don't like to use it. But when you see situations like this, you got to call a spade a spade. These people are stupid. Gwen Berry is stupid. These woke people, they're stupid because they're always telling folks what they need to be doing, but they're not doing it themselves. You need to know history. You need to know science. But by your very talk, I know you don't know nothing about history or science or anything else. You can't even command the English language, a lot of you. And you want to tell people what they need to be doing? For serious? Y'all crazy. I mean, really, yeah. She should be required to issue a formal apology, yeah. If she refuses, she should be expelled from the team, yeah. And not only that, I'll go so far to say this. If you don't want to respond apologetically, I don't care what world record you break, you will never represent this team in the Olympics ever again. I'd make it permanent. Maybe I mean like that or something. That's just how I feel about it. I'd make it permanent. Get up there with your blue lipstick and your red and black lipstick and everything. Big old eyelashes. Every time you blink, we get a hurricane. And then you want to turn from the country that you are supposed to represent when the national anthem is playing and make it all about you. They disrespected me. They set me up. Woman, you lived in this country for more than 30 years. You know, when you hear that song, that's the national anthem. You're going to hear it. I would loft my metatarsals into her hind parts and say, bye-bye. But, you know, we can't do that because we're too woke. We're too woke. We're too woke in this country. Well, I don't feel that way, but, you know, that's how black people feel. So we got to cater to their, we got to cater to their feelings. But I tell you what, you can do all you want to. You do all you want to. They're not going to return. They're not going to return the same sentiment. Right now, I'm reading a book called White Fragility, and I know a lot of people will be, Vincent, what are you doing reading? Now, folks, let me tell you something. I like to read from people whose opinion I agree with, and from people whose opinion I don't agree with. I want to see both sides of the story. So right now, I'm reading that book, White Fragility, and it's written by a white woman, a guilty white woman, virtue signaling, trying to tell the black people, hey, I care about you, and, you know, I know I'm white and I got privilege and everything. It's basically one of them type of people. And I just barely gotten into the first chapter. But I might do a chapter by chapter analysis on it, on Rumble or YouTube or one of those platforms. I might do a chapter by chapter analysis as I go through that book. And it's another book I want to get. What's his name? Kendi, X Kendi. I never heard some of these people. I never heard of until a few weeks ago. X Kendi. I think he wrote a book called Anti-Racism or something like that. I want to get that book, too. I want to analyze that. I want to do a chapter-by-chapter analysis of that book, too. Now, I know people will probably look at me like, Vincent, why are you reading these books? No, I want to see both sides. I want to check out opinions that I don't agree with, and I want to check out opinions I do agree with, you know. So, but, This is the world we live in now, y'all. We live in a country I no longer recognize. I watch sports videos on YouTube, and basically I find myself watching sports from back then, back in the day. You know, like in the 1980s. Oh, I think that was a highlight. The 1980s and the 1990s, I think that was a highlight of a lot of our sports in our country. Watching old NBA videos of Charles Barkley and Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, watching them old videos of people like Dan Marino and Jerry Rice and Joe Montana, folks like that, and it just isn't the same anymore. That's why I don't get caught up in sports anymore. And anyone who knows me knows I love to watch football. I love it. Every year I would get ready for the Super Bowl. I ain't care if my team made it or not. I was going to watch the Super Bowl. But guess what? This last Super Bowl, I didn't watch it because sports has gotten too woke. I don't watch sports to get my daily dose of politics. I watch sports to get away from that garbage. And too many of our athletes are becoming woke now. I'm sick of it. Sick and tired of it. I mean, it just ruins everything. I was listening to this guy earlier this afternoon at the other show I mentioned before, and he was talking about he had never heard of critical race theory. He had never heard of it. I heard of it a few years ago. It's relatively recent, but maybe about 5 years ago I first heard about critical race theory. And this guy, he was talking about he gave a scenario, and he was like, yeah, you black conservative, critical race theory, critical race theory, that and just totally missed the point, just totally out of context, really. Like we're looking for critical race theory everywhere we go. I say, you got to be kidding me. You got to seriously be kidding me. But let me tell you all something. Subjects like critical race theory and, you know, the 1619 Project, they do not belong in our schools, because all it does is teaches black people that we are perpetual victims, and it teaches white people that they should hate themselves because you make perpetual victims out of black people. That's all that mess does. Everything that happens in this country that's negative to black people, we can trace it back to white folks, because white folks got the advantage. They got the privilege. That's why critical race theory does not belong in our schools, because all it does is it inadvertently seeks to separate the races. It divides us even further. That's all it does. Oh, we need it. All we want to do is teach the truth about history. Look, folks, when I came up in school, I was taught about Jim Crow. I was taught about slavery. I was taught about the civil rights era. Of course, a lot of what we were taught in school was kind of watered down, which is why I tell people, just because your school didn't teach it doesn't mean you can't go to the library or get a book or whatever and further your education. Because I can tell you right now, probably 98% of what I know now, I didn't learn in school. I had to look for the information myself. I had to search it out myself. I like to read. Now, like I said, I'm not as eloquent as some people are. Some people, they can rattle off that information like, Sarge, I had something in my throat there. I can't rattle it off like a lot of people. But I do have common sense, and I do have critical thinking skills. I'm about to say I got critical race theory. Now, y'all see how that messes up everything? I have critical thinking skills. I don't have critical race theory. Flycatch said, look no further than South Africa and how CRT destroyed the nation. Yes. And when you point out what's going on in South Africa, you know what the apostles of blackness say? Oh, it's just black people reclaiming their land. Oh, okay, so we can take a little 8-year-old girl and cut her mouth, cut the corners of her mouth all the way up to her ears, murder the little girl, and say, oh, they're just trying to reclaim their property. We can go in there and murder white folks, white farmers, and just say, oh, they're just reclaiming their land. It ain't their land. It's not their land. Yeah, maybe several hundred years ago, maybe someone did take the land from somebody, but that was about 600-700 years ago. They're not responsible for that. And it's already messed up Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe is already messed up because of that. Zimbabwe won its independence. It used to be called Rhodesia. And when they won their independence, they changed the name to Zimbabwe. And I remember that Stevie Wonder song said, peace has come to Zimbabwe. No, peace didn't come to Zimbabwe. Because what they probably did was persecute the white farmers there. And as a result, they kicked a lot of these farmers off their land. And as a result, they say, okay, black people, your land is back. They didn't know what to do with the land. The white folks knew what to do with the land. Black folks didn't know what to do with it. And now, The black folks are suffering because of it. I was watching this documentary where this boy, little black boy, showing how he would trap little birds. You know them little songbirds? These birds were about as big as a sparrow. Learning how to trap them so he could have some food to eat. Because his mother used to work on one of these farms with these white folks. And the white folks, they loved her. They said, this is my daughter and everything. But when they kicked the white people off of their farms, the black people suffered because of it. And the same thing is going to happen in South Africa if people don't open their eyes. Where did I learn this? Watch the documentary on YouTube. Check it out. Sarge, I think you need to say that a little bit louder for the people in the back. He said, it is a myth that the portion of the Transvaal that became South Africa had been peopled by black Africans. It was settled by the Boers, who found that region largely unpopulated, save for nomadic aboriginals. And not only that, I can go a little bit further than that too. A lot of the black people in South Africa right now, they can't trace their ancestry to the nomadic aboriginals. They come from other parts of Africa. Bet y'all didn't know that either. I'm not talking about the people in the chat room. I'm talking about you virtual signaling apostles of blackness. It's crazy, mess, people. I tell you, it's becoming so easy to do a show now because every week something happens. Every week. Do I believe there are racist white people in the United States? Yeah, certainly do. But like I said earlier, black folks, don't think you didn't have a part to play in the statistics of racism in this country yourselves. Because one of the biggest lies out there is that black people cannot be racist because they don't have the power. Because the word race, racism, racist, has a negative stigma to it, and they don't want to apply that stigma to themselves so they can take responsibility for their own actions when they screw up. They always want to play the victimhood thing. And yes, black people are playing the victimhood game in this country, despite what I heard earlier this afternoon. This guy gets up, he starts talking and saying, so you're going to tell me that George Floyd wasn't a victim? Yeah, he was a victim, yeah. What happened to George Floyd shouldn't have happened. But it didn't happen because he was black. Back up about 4 years before George Floyd to a case, I think it was in Texas too, in Texas, a man named Tony Tempa. Of course, we ain't never heard of him. Police had their knee in his back for 14 minutes. And not only that, they were making fun of the guy. This was a white guy. Oh, of course. No, that's not news because it wasn't the police affecting a black person. Look it up. Tony Tempa. Tony Tempa. Spelled Tempa with an I. T-I-M-P-A. And while you're at it, look up another man named Daniel Shavers. Yes, exactly. More whites are killed by the police than blacks, and that's a fact. Yeah, Bianchi. And by the way, welcome to the show anyway. You all, let me go ahead and let me get my advertisements out of the way. And when I come back, I promise you, those of you all who are on the phones, I'm going to get to you. You are listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio.
So I'm a cat. And I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
People, welcome back to the show. If you'd like to be a guest to call in, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That is 646-478-5284. Wait a minute. What is that? Oh, no. It's the fruit bats. Signal, and I do that every time I'm about to go on the phones, just to let people know I'm not going to tolerate the foolishness, the excessive profanity, the ad hominem attacks, the character assassinations, the trolling, things like that. It will prompt me to push the kick button, and you will go bye-bye. Okay, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me, but I want decent adult conversations. You know, I want a mature conversation. You know, don't just come in here and throw around your insults and your false accusations and things like that. Okay, you know, I don't care if you agree with me or not, but just be respectable in your interactions. But having said that, let me get my first caller here. 850. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, how you doing there, Mr. Benson?
Doing good, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm enjoying the show, and I'm just going to let you know, man, that since you don't like the United States no more, I will get you a rocket ship and come by and get you. I will get Sarge, Greta, your wife, and anybody else who wants to jump on board. And instead of this virgin guy, I can't think of his name offhand, going off into the outer rims of our atmosphere tomorrow, we can leave out in the next hour or so, and we can be out there and get a jump start on everybody. We can be in the Guinness Book of Records.
All right. Yeah. Well, I don't hate the country. I just don't recognize it from what it used to be, you know, the country that I grew up in.
Yeah. Me too yeah. Now. Don't leave me out. I understand, yeah. You know. I totally understand, but to the business at hand, love your show, and a lot of that, what you said, that's very true, you know what I'm saying? I know you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired and everything.
Yeah, Retta said she'll help us pack.
hey, Greta, Greta, I tell you what I do just for you. I'll put some extra rooms in the spaceship. So just let me know where you're at, and I'll land right by your place, and we can be out of here in the next few hours at least anyway. You know, I gotta make a stop up in North Carolina first to get Vincent. I don't know where Sarge live at, you know. And then I'll come get Vincent, and then wherever else I need to go from there, I have no problem with that.
Well, Sarge is closer to you than I am. Sarge is in, I think he's in Atlanta.
Oh, well, that's easy then. That's kind of like on the way up. So what I'll do is I'll just go get Sarge first, and I'll go by and get my oldest daughter. She lives up there too. Got to have her with me. And in fact, when I leave here, I'm going to have my baby girl with me, and then I'm going to jump up there and pick you and your wife up. Then I'll move up and get Greta and whoever she wants to come along. That'd be fine. We all will be out of here, okay?
I know that's right.
And,
I'm going to keep you on.
And just to clarify one thing, folks, this is a one-way trip. We are not coming back.
I know that's right. All right, I'm going to keep you on, Iredale. I'm going to get my next caller. Let me get this next caller.
Will do, man.
Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. As if I don't know who this is.
Excuse me a second, man. I got to smack away some fruit bats. Hang on a second. All right, they gone. How you doing, man?
What's up, Sarge?
How's it going, brother?
I heard you on that show earlier this afternoon. I was like, first of all, I want you. You have raised my respect level about 50 levels right now, because the way you handled that guy this morning was, I mean, it was respectful. You didn't attack him or anything like that. I got mad respect for you.
I appreciate that, sir, but I'm telling you, do you realize that brother was so impressed with me, he asked me to shoot him an email because he wants me to come back. He wants me to come
really?
Back on him. He's going to do another show, which is, get this now, based on what I said, that is, beware of blacks who only advocate a Democratic/liberal agenda. And he wants to talk about whether or not socialism is valuable to black people. And a show on U.S. foreign policy. He wants to do all that with me. I said, look, we were respectful. We don't have to agree. But clarity is more important than agreement, and I'm all for it. I'm down with it. So I'm coming back if he wants me to.
That's good to hear. And see, that's what it's about. You know, we're not always going to agree on everything, but we don't have to go the disrespectful route. You know, I mean, calling people names and stupid mess like that. I mean, come on. You know, let's just have a mature conversation. And, you know, after the conversation, we still might not agree, but we still respected one another. That's all it's about.
We provided valuable service to other people who haven't made up their minds, I hope anyway, to listen to both contending viewpoints, and other people can make up their minds as to who has the best argument in the matter. And that's fine with me, because I don't believe in thought policing and thought control. I believe in intellectual freedom to the max.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Let me get this
but
other
you know
caller
what?
On
like
here.
I'd like to talk about Gwen Berry, and see, this comes up a lot, this subject of the rarely sung third stanza of the National Anthem. Now, nobody ever sings the damn thing. They only sing the first stanza. But let's deal with that phrase in there about hirelings and slaves. First of all, the hirelings were Prussian mercenaries who were considered by almost everybody to be the best mercenaries in the world, like German, you know, what do you expect? Drilled, disciplined, fierce in combat. So everybody was hiring Prussians back then. Hessians, they call them Hessians. And they were basically Prussian mercenaries. So those are the hirelings they're talking about. He's talking about killing them too, okay? Why?
Yep.
Because they're taking up arms against the United States. The slaves that are referred to are probably two classes. People who were forcibly impressed, particularly into the British Navy, and the slaves who, for understandable reasons certainly, ran over to the British side to fight as British colonial marines against the United States. Now look, I don't know about you, but when you take up arms against any nation for any reason, you're subject to get your ass killed in that war. It's just the way it is. And those British, those colonial Marines who had been slaves and had fought with the British to get their freedom, they were bearing arms against the United States in the War of 1812. Remember, at that time, our continued independence was not assured. Had the British defeated us, they would have no doubt incurred very onerous peace terms on this nation. Who knows if the nation would have even survived, even though it had achieved its independence in the Treaty of Paris Treaty of 1783. So, I mean, it was literally a fight for national survival, and I'm not going to, you know, split hairs about whether or not Francis Scott Key should have been sensitive to the needs of the slaves when his country's in peril. Come on.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you lack perspective and you lack context, this is what you get. Bumper sticker reasoning by moronic, agenda-driven activist educators in colleges, particularly ones who hate this country, want to deconstruct it and want to tear it down. I mean, they're everywhere these days. They don't want to educate. They don't want to provide historical perspective in anything. Their whole idea, their whole point is to deconstruct the founding traditions of this Constitution so they can then take apart constitutional protections so then can impose upon us a North American form of Marxism and socialism. It's just that simple. Anybody who thinks any differently ain't paying attention.
Yeah, you laying it down on the line. That's all it's about. These people don't care about black folks. They don't care about us. You know, they don't, black people, we're so, they got a hidden agenda, you know. And all it is to push more Marxism. That's all it is. That's all it's about. But
we're talking about South Africa early, and you put a cool quote I put in the chat room out. That is correct. I'd like to further elucidate that the San and Khoikhoi people of South Africa were almost exterminated by the Bantu people before the Boers ever got there.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, they literally were almost exterminated.
They were enslaved
and taken up and subsumed by the larger Bantu population of South Africa. This is before white people ever got there.
Sarge, there you go, speaking that truth again. I can't have you speaking that truth on this show, man. Again, I'm going to kick you off, man.
Like I said, man, when it comes to perspective and nothing. And look, let's face it, events is another one for you. And then another one, see, when people like me say these things, we get hated. But it's literally the truth, and that's another reason they hate us so much. Now, I'm going to make a statement that is factually true. The lifespan for slavery in the United States, remember, I'm not going to hold the United States responsible for anything that happened before July 4th, 1776, because it didn't exist before that. That's the date
exactly.
It started, not 1619. Oh, okay. The reason they're trying to go back to 1619 is to make the atrocity seem like a longer period of time. It was a British colony. We didn't have nothing to do with that. July 4th, 1776, I'm holding the United States responsible for everything after that date. But not before, not anything a day before. Now, if you think about it, the lifespan of slavery in the United States from July 4th, 1776, to December 1865, which the 13th Amendment was passed, was 89 years. That's one lifetime.
Yep.
That's one lifetime, Vince. How long slavery exists in the Chinese Empire, or the Roman Empire, or the Persian Empire?
Exactly.
Or the Mali and Songhai Empire in Africa.
Where do they get this 400 years thing from? I keep hearing them talk about, 400 years of slavery in the United States. Where do you all get
that's
this
why they
from?
Have to do it, see? They have to try to make it seem the United States has been around for 400 years, when in fact it's only been around for 250 or something. 260, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, less than 300, certainly. They got to go back that far to make the atrocity seem worse and longer than it was. And remember, even when the country ratified the Constitution, that was in 1787, but even when it declared itself in 1776, black people, there were many free people still in the United States, even then. They might not have been full citizens, but they were free. Yes, most of them were slaves. Okay, I'm not denying that. But I'm saying there was a substantial body of free men, even in the South. Even in the South, and far more in the North.
What? Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, to hear all these things, and it's absolutely lacking in perspective and context, and that is important, because the point is not to educate. The point is not to edify. The point is to deconstruct this nation, its institutions that stand in the way of socialism and Marxism. That is the point. And we got to keep reminding people this when they do things that are, yes, socialist and Marxist.
Hold on there, Sarge. Let me get this other caller on here. I think this is my buddy, Pianki. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
What do you say, red-blooded American patriotic citizens? It's always good to be in the company.
I tell you, that's kind of sobering what you put in the chat room right there. 4,845 blacks shot by other blacks. Wow, that's in 371 days since Memorial Day weekend. That's sobering right there. That's very
how many
sobering.
Was murdered?
Yeah, I mean that's
745 and murdered.
Yeah, and last week people just lost their minds last weekend. They just
in 39 days, you don't have 728 shot by other blacks with 98 murders.
Man,
and I'm always hearing
man.
Blacks make them statements talking about whites are losing population and all that stuff. Well, hell, and they're going to disappear. Are they going to disappear? Well, hell, you'd be long gone by the time they ever disappear.
I know that's right. Yep. 13% of the population committing 53% of the murders.
Yeah, and I hear this stuff over and over talking about the police. You don't have what, about 5 police officers killed here in the last few weeks. Sorry to be more up on that than I am. But nobody's talking about that. And they talking about defunding the police. What they ought to do is just leave police alone, give them full range in order to do the job that they have to do. Either do that or don't answer the calls. Because, a dead man cannot resist arrest, and you ain't got to worry about them harming you. You just come pick them up, throw them on a gurney.
That's so true.
And you know another thing. They keep talking about this slavery. At the eve of the Civil War, less than about 2.5 to 3% of whites in the South had anything to do with slavery whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I hate to see, I don't talk about associate Africa in the conversation with black Americans, because then you get black Americans think they're African. Black Americans are not no Africans.
Nah.
They're United, they belong to a, they're in a country called United States, on a landmass continent called America. That's what they are.
And see, that's why I don't refer to myself as African. You know, maybe my ancestors were. I'm pretty sure they were, but I'm not African. I was born in the United States of America.
Well, hell, got white folks whose ancestors was African. If you want to go back far enough.
You got white Africans. You actually, ain't no white people African.
John Kerry's wife is African. Teresa.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, really. So. But this is the I tell you, in a way you have to you really have to fight off the frustration that you feel when you hear people talk these talk this nonsense a lot. You know, when Gwen Berry did her thing, I was about through. I was like,
that woman that shot put that hammer through her.
Yeah,
wasn't that most ignorant damn thing you seen? What did she say? She was ambushed with the national anthem. Well, duh, fool, you came in third place. You going to listen to somebody's anthem, and I think the first place was American.
Yeah.
I think she's mad because she lost to two white girls. I think that's what it is. She lost to two white girls. That's what she's upset about.
Then they upset about this other girl that's a sprinter who got kicked out because of her use of marijuana, And once again, did not you know the rules? The rules been around for a long time.
Yeah. And she owned up to her mistake, too. She owned up to her mistake, which to me was like in the story, but you still got people want to compare her to Michael Phelps, which Michael Phelps, he had already been in the Olympics, and he didn't test positive for any foreign substances during the Olympics.
Yeah, it was three months after that.
That was three months after that.
And they took a picture of him.
They saw that picture, mm-hmm. and they suspended him for 3 months. So, you know, I don't know where they get these comparisons from, but like my friend Iredale says, they don't have a toenail to stand on.
Well, you got some blacks in this corner, and I tell you, I warn you now. I tell you now, you got some blacks in this country. What you need to do is nail your identity down to the table, to the floor on the walk, or they will snatch it and take it. Just like that just like that Japanese tennis player. You got people in this country want to claim her as being a black American or African American. That woman is Japanese.
Yes.
She's Japanese.
Just because her skin is not lily white, she ain't related to you.
Yeah, exactly. You know. And when you look at her, she looks just like a dark-skinned Japanese woman.
Oh, absolutely. All this crazy nonsense. You want to hear, like you got blacks say that black was here in America before anybody else. That's a dang don't lie. DNA sequences prove that. And another point.
Yeah.
Those, what you call Native Americans, are not indigenous people. Native Americans, those people that they claim was black, came out of Eastern Asia, across the Bering Straits, down the West Coast, through the heartland, and also down the southern coast. And they became, they were what you call Indians. An Indian is a legal name, meaning that they belong to one of the civilized tribes that the government recognized. They had black slaves. You had black and red Indians that had black slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And your Seminole was some of your...
Thanks to you, you made me aware of the fact of my research when you I heard you talking about that the United States government actually negotiated with the members of the five tribes in order to get their slaves to be made members of the Indian tribes. The Indian tribes did not want to make their slaves members of the tribe, but the United States government was the ones that negotiated with to ensure that they would be considered members of the tribe.
That was part of the 1866 treaty,
right?
And they became freemen. And actually, all the freemen died off. The Freedmen Bureau dissolved in 1906, I believe it was.
That's about right.
Oklahoma didn't become a state until 1907. And all that land that you call Black Wall Street was Indian territory.
Yes.
Muscovy Greek.
Yes.
Uh-oh. Here they come. Here y'all come with them facts again. Here y'all come.
And they hate it.
No black people.
They hate it so much. So it doesn't give any context or perspective. See, they want an unrelieved narrative of atrocity and brutality toward black people. They don't want any nuance. They're always talking about nuance when it comes to their agenda. But when it comes to anything else that tends to mitigate against the idea that the United States is just one great big atrocity from 1776 or 1690, whenever they decided to start it, till now, anything that mitigates against that, they don't want to hear it. They don't even want it discussed.
You had Rich Creek Indians, because during the Trail of the Tears, the Creek didn't walk. They got on steamship and took their African slaves.
Many.
They took them on steamship.
Wait a minute. Say that again. Okay, now y'all saying some stuff I ain't never heard before. Say that again.
I said the Creek did not walk in the Trail of Tears. They got on steamships and came around to Texas.
Yeah, they were pretty prosperous. Whether people
they
want to know
it
or
damn
not,
right
they were doing pretty well for themselves financially.
As a matter of fact, and whites did, coming out of Arkansas, cause a lot of problems because they gave up, like the Osage gave up the land because it was poison land. You know what the poison was? Oil.
Mm-hmm.
They wasn't aware of the oil. But they kept the mineral rights.
Yeah.
But blacks want to claim blacks in and Black Wall Street, that was probably Black Creek. Because here's the point. Where did blacks coming out of slavery get money to build buildings like that?
Good point.
People don't think. Now, you did have black artisans that was working in Chicago that was building, multi-story buildings. And a lot of black artisans did come to work in the building of those buildings. But the land is Indian land because Indians don't sell their land. Like, same thing in Africa. They lease it out to their own members.
Yeah, especially since a lot of it is reservation land that they acquired by negotiation through treaties with the United States.
You're absolutely right. It was treaties.
Yep, right. And it was 15 years before that. It was all Indian land, basically, before the Black Wall Street incident. It was 15 years before that. It was still Indian land. So where's this thing about?
Was Indian territory. You're absolutely right. They called it Oklahoma territory, too. Well, here's another point. Lincoln didn't free no damn slaves. His Emancipation Proclamation wasn't nothing more than a proclamation. And get this, you had slaves who escaped from plantations that went to the Union lines. And what they did, they declared them as contraband.
Mm-hmm.
Lincoln, being the commander-in-chief, he ordered his Union officers to release their contraband. That was who his proclamation applied to. It didn't apply to all slaves. It surely didn't apply to the slaves that was being held by Indian nations, which some didn't release their slaves until in April of 1866. And guess what? The Chickasaw and the Choctaw told the United States to go to hell. If you want me to release my property, you're going to have to pay us to do it.
He sure did.
Yep. Yeah, now, see, I heard
like,
that.
When you mentioned the Emancipation Proclamation, yes, it was historically significant, but it was primarily a military measure by the commander-in-chief dealing with the strategic resources of the Confederacy to deny the slaves as strategic resources to enemies of the United States. That's
absolutely
what it was.
And the United States paid the last payments to those Indian tribes in 1950. In 1979, the Creek expelled Negroes out of their bunch.
Yeah,
it's a lot of this
thing that they hate to admit to when you hear these spurious things about the United States paid all their former slave owners for their slaves. The 14th Amendment specifically prohibits payments to members of the Confederacy for their slaves. It expressly forbids any state or any part of the federal government from remunerating slave owners.
And actually, that was
right
wrong because what they done.
Make it up, but just make up something.
Actually, that was wrong because it was wrong for you to confiscate them people's property. As bad as it sounds, they were property. I mean,
that's why they had to do it with the Constitutional Amendment. See. Because the Fifth Amendment would, as you point out, prevent them from depriving them of their property without just compensation.
Absolutely right.
But,
that's the Fourth Amendment,
the
14th, I think.
The Fourteenth Amendment superseded it in its language and said that slave owners could not be remunerated. But the point of the matter is that these people will try to say, as part of the grievance mongering, the United States paid slave owners for slaves, and they didn't. It was expressly forbidden. If it was done, it was illegal and unconstitutional.
Well, they did pay the Indians. Now, here's the thing. The Fourth Amendment guarantees due process. It guarantees sustained due. Well, the Fifth Amendment, I get the two mixed up. It guarantees sustained due process. That means, if, for instance, if your land is coming under the action of eminent domain, you have to be confiscated fair market value for your land. Now, get this. The 14th Amendment guaranteed procedure due process, as you've seen with Bill Cosby, George Floyd, and Chauvin. They had to receive procedural due process. And when that prosecutor came back and went against the promises and came and prosecuted Bill Cosby, he went against the due process that put that in place all along. That's why come Pennsylvania Supreme Court threw it out.
Yeah, but here's another point on what you said a moment ago about the United States compensating the civilized tribes for the slaves. Yes, they did. And here's the reason why. And this is what is critical understanding what a citizen is, like a natural born citizen. They were not considered citizens of the United States. The Constitution
they
and all the particulars didn't apply to them. Remember,
they were
citizens
of those nations.
Until 1924.
Yeah, they were citizens of those Indian, well, they were property of those Indian nations, what they were.
That's why it didn't, that's why the 14th Amendment, in their respect, didn't apply to them, because they were not considered subject to the jurisdiction of the Constitution in all particulars.
Yeah, the Constitution mentioned Indian sovereign nation in, I think it's the First Amendment, I'm not sure, Article 1.
Article 1, it has to do with this. Yeah. There's the other three, there's the other three-fifths of Indians not taxed, they refer to them. You know, they refer to Indians not taxed in
three-fifths
there.
Three-fifths citizens, three-fifths all other persons, Indians
like
not taxed.
For the other
absolutely.
Persons that are three-fifths for purposes of congressional apportionment. So Indians weren't even citizens of the United States, even though they were born on American soil. They weren't considered citizens.
Yeah.
Well, later on, they got away from
the... They were citizens of separate sovereign nations.
Yeah, they got later on. They got away from the sovereign nation and treaty. They went to acts, but it was all by treaty early on. So these people is lying. They lie. They just some big ass goddamn liars.
Yeah, and when they don't lie, they distort or they lie by omission. And that is
black folks.
It all adds up to big lies. Yes,
and these are black folks that's doing them lies. Getting black people all hyped up and emotionalized, and you know blacks don't. Well, hell, they say you want to hide something from a Negro, put it in a book. They don't read. They just listen. They like going to the church and being sermoned to. They like going to these bookstores, paying $20 to be lectured to, and they lie.
Yeah,
yeah, James. It's a shame.
And I tell you,
well,
this,
time we had black men of learning like Booker T. Washington. And even John Hope Franklin, he was a liberal, but at least he had an eye to education. You read what he wrote, you know, you can see the historical truths there. Nowadays, we got people who literally make up an alternative universe of facts, alleged, quote, unquote, facts. And that's what we're getting now. So the 1619 Project is a perfect example. It is shoddy history. And even its own author, Nicole Jones, was forced by the New York Times to issue a tepid apology in which she regretted her lack of context and perspective in the writings.
You know, another big lie is Christopher Attucks. You know how the black voices say that he was the first person killed in the Revolutionary War?
Sure.
Yeah.
Christopher Attucks was born in 1723. He died in 1770. The Revolutionary War didn't start until 1775. He was dead 5 years.
Yeah.
He died in what is known as the Boston Massacre, which wasn't really a part of the Revolutionary War. Yeah, exactly.
And if we remember now, again, for perspective's sake, I'm not passing judgment on Christopher Attucks or the other people there, but for perspective's sake, one of the greatest founders, John Adams, defended the British soldiers who killed them on the grounds that they had a right to defend themselves against riotous actions by a mob, and he won in court.
Unlike our police today.
Yeah.
I got one thing. I'd like to say one thing. Vincent, I believe your show has been hacked, but I'm still enjoying listening to it.
I tell you something else, too. They don't never talk about all the black businesses that exist between 1600 through 1865. And you know, you hear stories about Anthony Johnson. Anthony Johnson threw a program that was in the United States, acquired over 900 acres under the system for importing immigrants into the country, white immigrants. Him, Emmanuel Cambrew, and James City County, and also by a guy by the name of Benjamin Doyle of Surrey County, and others took advantage of that program, where if you sponsor an immigrant into the country, you receive 50 acres of land free, amongst other things. So people just lie, man. They don't tell the truth. And like I say, if you're going to talk about critical race theory is supposed to be telling true history, well, hell, you got to include how these leftist blacks suppress and abuse conservative blacks today, calling them all sorts of names, Uncle Tom, House Negro, and all that stuff. That's racist.
Yeah. Yep.
And the worst sin, I think, of all of it, is the Democrat Party's desperate attempts to hide its own history and its own connection to the racial depredations against black people from 1820 right through to the Civil Rights era. They are desperate to conceal it, minimize it, or poo-poo it away, and then try to say the Southern strategy was actually a Republican strategy to switch Democrats, Southern racist Democrats, into becoming Republicans. Everything they say is a lie, a distortion, an omission, or a combination of all three of those things.
All the Civil Rights Act.
Yeah, you see that going on today anyway, because you remember, you know, all last year, all we heard was defund the police. Now the police have been defunded. And crime has shot up, and now they want to say the Republicans were the ones that defunded the police. I say, y'all got to be kidding me. Y'all using the same old tactics.
All civil rights acts from 1866, 1875, the one that Accommodations Act, and I can't think of the lady's name, she put the point about where she sat on the train. Then you come up in 1957 during Eisenhower time. That was a civil. All those was passed. Even 1964, it was Republicans that passed those acts. Democrats was against them.
Every one of them. And do you realize that Dwight D. Eisenhower actually made inroads into the Southern vote? He won 6 of the 11 Confederate states after he sent the 101st Airborne Division in a Little Rock High School to integrate that school. After that, he still won 6 Confederate states in the South.
He was
making inroads into the South before Ronald Reagan or Richard Nixon. Long before.
They
want to ignore all that.
It was Richard Nixon. You know, Arthur Fletcher was the author of affirmative action. He was in Chicago working against the labor bosses, and the labor bosses were trying to kill him. Richard Nixon got hold of it the very day it was happening. He called up Old Man Daley, the mayor of Chicago, and he told Daley, if you harm one hair on that Negro's head, come Monday I will have the 101st Airborne marching down Michigan Avenue in Chicago. Nobody hears that.
Wow.
General Eisenhower might not have been exactly the most integrated-minded president ever. But when it came to the rule of law and, you know, and rulings by the courts, he was determined to ensure that they would be obeyed. And he was, being a general, he would do whatever he had to do in order to see that it was done. And he did.
Well, I'll tell you something else Nixon done people don't know. Under the behest of Floyd McKissick and Harvey Gantt. We know who Harvey Gantt was.
Yeah, we know. I'm familiar with Harvey Gantt. He tried to run for mayor. He tried to run for congressman here in North Carolina. So I'm pretty familiar with.
Harvey Gantt and McKissick went to Nixon. They said they wanted to have an all black town, and Nixon agreed. So he went and acquired in Warren County, North Carolina, which became Soul City. It had infrastructure, electric, infrastructure, water and sewer, and I think some factories, so that it could become an all-black town. It was another one over in South Carolina called Freedom Town. And then you had Brooklyn, Illinois, right across the river from St. Louis. It was supposed to be an all-black town. Well, he done what he was supposed to do. Blacks didn't move into the town.
Yeah, I know a lot about.
Who did Lyndon Johnson, Baines Johnson, turn to when he wanted to shepherd the 1964 Civil Rights Act through Congress? I guarantee you one thing: it wasn't Strom Thurmond or any Democrat. At all. It was Everett Dirksen who got over 80% of the Republicans there to vote for the 1964 Civil Rights Act. And the Democrats, I think about 25 to 28% of them voted for it.
It was the highest Democratic participation for civil rights in their history. Because before then, they wouldn't do it.
You're right.
Them Democrats
is
racist,
you know,
man.
The history, the whole shoddy history, sordid is the word I'm looking for. The sordid history of civil rights in a Democratic Party is one of the best kept secrets, open secrets, I think, that exists in American history. I mean, platform of the Democrat Party from 1820 right through to the Civil War, event support for slavery. The Republican Party, every single one of its party platforms, of course, since it was founded to end slavery, was for abolishment of slavery throughout the Union. And they literally have hidden this fact in plain sight from everybody who even asks about it, even talks about it, or they minimize it, or distort it, just flat out lie about it. The party switched sides. That's a lie.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest lies ever told.
The Creek Indians, the Creek Nation, the first Supreme Court judge of the United States in the United States was a Creek Indian by the name of Jesse Franklin. The Creeks voted him as their Supreme Court justice. They were their authority was sort of like the United States. They had a Senate and another body like the Congress, but they voted him to be their Supreme Court justice. And he had the power to put you to death. It was in 1870-something, I think it was.
Wow. Them Creek Indians got involved in a lot, didn't they? I mean, my goodness.
Yes,
well,
they did.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. We all know why the left is using the black community as stalking horses to advance Marxism. Because, again, everyone knows the biggest original sin of this country was slavery, racism, Jim Crow, segregation, the Ku Klux Klan, all of it. And it's very hard to argue against that historical reality because it is a bit nuanced often, and people ain't got time for nuance when they can be fed bumper sticker slogans instead. So it's easy to take the black community as a collective. And that's what I hate about it. It's easy to take the black community as a collective, put it up as a stalking horse and say, see, this is why we need to have government control. And you were speaking about Ibram X. Kendi? X. Kendi has proposed a Department of Anti-Racism, which will have near plenipotentiary power once they pass a constitutional amendment authorizing it. This is what he proposed, that would literally be able to vouchsafe and pre-approve all federal and state law if it is deemed to have a racist or disparate impact on black people. It is totalitarian in its nature. And remember, today's reality is tomorrow's actuality if we don't nip this crap in the bud.
And I got one more point I'm going to make out. We talk about slave codes in Louisiana. You know who had slave codes worse than Louisiana? The Chickasaw. The Chickasaw Nation. If you could marry, and you would be put to death as a slave for some of the things that in Louisiana you would get hit on the hand for. So this stuff people don't understand. I mean, they just lie. Believe this shit. They just lie.
Yeah. I mean, it's so much history out there but you have so many people telling these lies, it kind of suppresses people's function to search this history out, and they think that, you know, we're hearing all these voices and everything, so, you know, these people ain't going to lie, you know, and it just makes people intellectually lazy. They just sit down and say, oh, okay, well, you know, I got all the information I got, but they don't go out and search it on their own because it's too much work. They're mentally and intellectually lazy.
When you have black school districts that have 5% math proficient and 13% reading, I don't think they can read. You know, I'm going to tell you the truth, Sarge. I think in education, and I hate to say this, and, you know, I'll tell you another thing. I think a large portion of black population is cursed. I really do.
I hope not.
I think they curse, man, because of the things that they've done, their ancestors done back on the continent, because they do believe in that kind of stuff back over there. I really do. But I'm going to say this. When you talk about education, I think you have got about the best that you're going to get out of black achievement academics here in the United States. Right now, you got about 4.3%. That's engineers, computer and math scientists, 5.1% of the population, social-related science, about all occupations, about 6.8%. And Democrats don't try everything, and it's not money. Up there in Kansas City, when the DSEG judge, Russell Clark, asked the activists, how much money do you need so we can change these academics around? Sarge, there's only 33,000 kids in the school district in Kansas City, Missouri. They said $1 billion. Wait a minute. Guess what the judge said? I'll give you $2
billion. Wow.
Would you help refresh my memory, Pianki, because you remember that St. Louis federal judge who ordered the school district of St. Louis to create a $1 billion school in order to rectify educational outcomes? At
that
the
was
end
William
of
Hungate.
Pulling together this school that had every bell and whistle you can imagine, include Olympic-sized swimming
That was
pool,
in Kansas City. That was in Kansas City, Missouri.
City. Right.
That was Southeast High School. Still there today.
Remind us about that one.
Yeah, well, the high school had Olympic-sized swimming pool. It had a United Nations style auditorium. So if you brought somebody in there that was speaking a foreign language, the kids would put on their headphones and we would translate it to English. They had petting zoos. They had all those modern things.
And here's the thing. At the end of it, when they were assessing how the benefit of the school, the black students in the school had lower educational test scores than they had before they created the school.
Well,
and
yeah,
it wasn't
did.
Anything it lacked.
And here's the thing, Sarge, and we ain't saying that it's black kids' fault. It's them black parents and black families' fault.
Yep.
Yeah.
I want anybody to hear my voice. We ain't saying it's black children's fault because it is not. Because I can give you some cases in the hundreds where black children are kicking the heck off of the charts on educational achievement.
Yeah,
it's
ask
Negroes.
Thomas Sowell about that. He'll give you chapter and verse about it.
It's these Negroes out here in these public schools, for instance. You got East St. Louis High School, which is well known for football. Mike Shannon. It was nationally known. Their math proficiency is less than 1%. Less than 5% reading. Mm. Where are those children going?
And I don't know if you all heard of the little girl, I think, well, not little girl, she's 13 years old, who won the National Spelling Bee.
Yeah.
Became the first African-American. Now see.
And she's not African-American. I think she's Nigerian. But go ahead. I know, you know how they claim.
Yeah. But you know what you know what they say. They say we don't have the advantage that white people do because, you know, we don't have the same resources. Tell that to that girl.
You know, their parents paid tutors, and every night, this is what they see. CNN wrote up on it. Then you had the Louisiana Advocate write her story. Louisiana Advocate talked about how every night she studied 13,000 words. They talked about how their parents sacrifice to pay for tutors. These tutors cost up to like $100-some-odd an hour. Just on, and they will specialize in the spelling bee. But when you read CNN's report on her, they left all that out.
Yeah, of course.
Wonderful.
Of course. Of
I
course.
Wonder.
And see that's the thing that frustrates me a lot. And I use myself as an example. And I tell people, you know, don't give me this garbage about, you know, white people had the advantage and everything and stuff like that. Because when I was in first grade, I was reading on a third grade reading level. I was out reading everybody in my class, and I was in the top 10 in the state of Maryland for reading skills. So I tell people, don't give me that bunch of crap, because, you know, I got experience, you know, and I was supposed to be a vegetable. Vince, yes, sir.
Ibram X. Kendi denies being an advocate of critical race theory. But, you know, he's lying. He's lying.
Oh.
He is considered the foremost advocate of critical race theory, at least one of the most well-known and influential of them, because even as he denies being one, he sounds exactly like one. And this is what he proposed.
Like,
I came up in a Politico magazine video. This is what he said. I'm quoting from the magazine article in Politico. Listen, to fix the original sin of racism, Americans should pass an anti-racist amendment to the United States Constitution that enshrines two guiding anti-racist principles. Racial inequity is evidence of racist policy, and the different racial groups are equals. The amendment would make unconstitutional racial inequity over a certain threshold. As, listen to this now, as well as racist ideas by public officials, with racist ideas and public official clearly defined. Goes on to say, it would establish and permanently fund the Department of Anti-Racism, DOA, very appropriate, sounds like dead on arrival, comprised of formally trained experts on racism and no political appointees. The DOA would be, listen to this insidious thing here, the DOA would be responsible for pre-clearing all local, state, and federal public policies to ensure they won't yield racial inequity. That's ultimate communism. And
well, you know what equity is.
Policies investigate private racist policies when racial inequity surfaces, and monitor public officials for expressions of racist ideas. The DOA would be empowered with disciplinary tools to wield over and against policies and public officials who do not voluntarily change their racist policy and ideas. Can you imagine a more totalitarian proposal than this?
That person is crazy as hell.
Oh, wow.
You know, let me tell you something else.
Crazy is tomorrow's reality. Look what we're dealing with. We're dealing with transgendered women in sports.
Yep.
So and he's talking about
this totalitarian, lunatic, demented, and tyrannical idea has no chance. As long as Democrats remain in power, the White House and both legislative arms, and God help us if they ever get the Supreme Court too, this is a reality 10, 20 years from now.
And you know what, you talk about inequities. At private colleges, on the SAT test, blacks are given 310 points before they even start the test. Hispanics, about 170. Asians are deducted. You hear me? Asians are deducted 140 points.
What? Now, see, I didn't. Oh, my goodness. This is crazy. This, oh, my goodness. Mm.
Now, what is this telling them kids?
Like I said, the older I get,
you, man,
the more
you
know,
these people,
they
are opening the throttle wide open. They are sensing this is their moment. They have completely come out of the closet. They're in the open. It's time to fire for effect on these sons of you-know-what.
And then they want to teach this. See what it is, these black groups, you know what they want to do with this critical race? They want to teach this to white kids so they can shame them and make them feel guilty.
That's all it's about. Yeah, that's the whole point, right?
I mean,
make white kids hate themselves and make black kids
feel
like they're victims.
Anti-racist lectures. Remember, the racial industrial complex now has an interest to sustain itself every bit as imperative as the military-industrial complex did. It's big business now. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to one of these. I've been to a bunch of them because I've been in the Armed Forces, National Guard, and as a police officer, and they weren't as bad when I was going through them because I retired from both of them in around 2005. But I'm just saying that when I was going through them, they were nothing but struggle sessions. They were hectoring. It was like being in the Chinese Communist Party, where you had some fanatical lecturer browbeating, particularly the white members of the audience, into accepting his notions. There wasn't any discourse. There wasn't any back and forth on issues. There was an attempt to hector, bully, intimidate, even extort. It's gotten worse since then. It's like watching the Red Guard come to life, and these corporations are hiring these people and awarding them multi-million dollar contracts.
Mm. Wow.
And, you know, it's really getting to be very, very, very sad what we started. But you got to fight back. These school districts, people need to go out. And I mean, one thing they need to do is make it where you can recall school board members. In most cases, you can't recall them. And get they damn sorry asses off that board.
Mm.
Get them all off there.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't talk
about
how blacks and Chinese and everybody else that's non-white is also out there marching. They had a big march in New York, in Virginia, where Chinese Americans say, we don't want no critical race theory. You don't hear nothing about that. It's only about the whites that say that. The racist whites don't want critical race theory. The racist white don't want to be want the true history of the United States to be told.
Yeah. We hear that so much. I mean, and it makes you, oh man, y'all just blew my mind with all this, because most of what you all were talking about today, I didn't know, you know, and I tell you, I think I got a little bit more researching to do, you know.
Well, I tell you what, I know. That's why some people don't like me on these shows. You know, the only shows I get kicked off of, Sarge, is black shows.
I know.
I can go on what people call the most racist shows, and they don't kick me out. They listen. And I tell white folk, I say, y'all need to get off your damn lazy ass and get to fighting for your country. Blacks can't do it, Sarge. We ain't got the numbers.
I agree.
There's only a few, me and you. Whites got to do this.
Yeah.
And I sure hope they do, because I don't want my grandchildren growing up in a Marxist country, a socialist country. And you read that piece. The key words that you heard there was equity.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Equity. You know what that means, Vincent? They want a guaranteed income in this country.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they want. And see, it's not about merit. They don't talk about the merits like that girl on the spelling bee. That ain't all she's doing. She's saying that she wants to go to work for NASA and someplace else. Most black nationals tell you don't be working for no white corporations because all you're doing is furthering white supremacy. How stupid can you be?
I mean, really.
It's just crazy. It's just the craziest thing. We keep hearing this stuff, and they posit it as some sort of conventional wisdom. It's just madness.
Yeah, it is. And guys,
and I'm only talking about madness for the useful idiots who actually believe it. The people who are engineering all this stuff and running it, they're not crazy. They want to seize power, and they realize that these useful idiots and these fellow travelers will enable them to accomplish it. Equity is nothing more than reformulated Marxism for the peculiar racial sensitivities of the United States. That's all it is.
And you know what, too? You know the reason why the equity is not there when it comes to income? Because blacks are overrepresented in college low-paying majors. Why is that? because of the public elementary schools they come out of. They don't prepare them for the rigorous routines, the rigorous coursework, for those occupations that's in high demand and pay a whole lot of money.
Yeah,
I told my grandson, my last son, I said, you're going to be an engineer, you're going to carry a business minor, and you're going to play baseball. Anything else you want to do, you can do on your own, but you're going to do those. But you can't have your kids telling you what they don't want to do and what they want to do, because they're going to do like their peers tell them. That's why I come at the present time, when you look at the highest presence of blacks in employment, guess what it is? Social workers, 19.6%. Personnel training and labor. You got Negroes always want to tell people there's something wrong with their mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, the term similarly situated seems to go over their head. They say, I got a college degree. Why ain't I making as much money as this white man with a college degree? Well, a white man has a degree in STEM, in civil engineering. And he literally is constructing overpasses, bridges, buildings, and the like. You, what was yours? An African basket weaving?
And they talk about white supremacy. White supremacy ain't got nothing to do about whites thinking they supreme. Hell, that's widely known. But when you go looking at certain categories of work, like offshore oil well drilling, equity finances, leveraged buyouts, the faces behind that generally is white. But they lose too. Look at the Chinese.
Yeah.
Nigeria controlled 20-some-odd percent of offshore oil well drilling at one time.
Certainly did.
And you know the most important thing? Why come you don't see Nigerians and other Africans here marching in protesting and hollering, no justice, no peace? Why is it that they have the highest educational attainment, even than Asians, in these colleges?
Yep.
Why is it that you got these black Nigerians who, just as black as Isaac Hayes and Wesley Snipes, have a higher household income than whites?
Yep, certainly do. That's a sobering thought right there. Because they always talk about
questions. Thou shalt not inquire into these things. Thou shalt only repeat after me. Repeat after me. Black lives matter. Black lives matter. America is structurally and systematically racist and unfair and uninclusive. Repeat after me. Wash, rinse, repeat. Say it over and over and over again, and thou shalt not have any discourse to the contrary. That's the new
category. Wait a minute. If whites are so horrible and so racist and white police is so dangerous, why is it that in 2014 and years after that, when they had the Mike Brown incident and riots and burning from outsiders and everything, why did established black families up and flee from Ferguson and they moved across the Missouri River into St. Charles County, as far out as Wentzville, which is communities that's 98% white and 100% police, white police department? If whites are that bad, if white police departments are that bad, why did these blacks flee to those areas to get away from you-know-who?
Yeah, that's a good question. Guys, I'm going to have to cut it right here because we are in archives, man. I'm just enjoying the discussion here because, my goodness, y'all got me to thinking, boy. I tell you, some of these things y'all were telling me, I didn't even know. And I read a lot. I do a lot of reading, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, are you serious? You know, but I'm going to have to cut it short right now.
Well, I can say this.
It is always a pleasure.
You keep having me and Sarge on your show, you're going to be on the no-fly list. I'll talk to you later.
Show enough.
I know that's right, boy.
Man.
Thanks a lot, y'all. And Sarge, I'm gonna have to look you up on Blog Talk Radio for when you had that discussion with my man from this afternoon. You know, I want to peek in on that one. I'll let you know
when it's coming up, man, because you can call in and participate too. The more the merrier, I say.
I know that's right, man. I tell you, it's always a pleasure having you guys on here because, you know, like I said, I don't just do this so I can impart some knowledge to anyone. I do it so I can gain some knowledge as well. You know, it's a two-way door. It's a door that swings both ways for me, you know. So, but I really appreciate you guys coming on here.
Well, we appreciate you too, Vince, because you're doing the right thing. You're helping to bring information to the masses and to the people. You're presenting an alternative point of view that is all too often ignored. It is vital, the sort of things you and others are doing. And me and Bianca are going to do our paltry best to contribute what we can to this dialogue. It's essential.
Yes, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. I got to get ready to go. Thank you, Sarge. I'll see you later. I appreciate it always, my friend. And you all, next weekend, I should have another edition of Black by Color Only, God willing. But until then, you all take care of yourselves. Stay safe out there. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you guys on the rebound. Have a nice Saturday.